to warn you. You're doomed to stay. Go. Go.
Hey, yo, Michael and Jason and Chucky, get ready. Heather's moving to Elm Street, kicking it with Freddy. Cause Heather loves horror.
What's your favorite scary movie?
You're the man.
Heather loves horror.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
Good, perfect. Let me get
sorry, I just ran out for like 10 minutes. And I was like, I was trying to get it done like within the time frame. I'm like, all right, I think I could go to the drugstore and get something. luckily, everything is close by.
Good.
Sorry, I'm just
you said everything was.
Oh yeah, everything was perfect.
Good.
Get myself situated here.
Okay.
Sorry, my living room's a little weird, so I have to like grab a chair over.
No worries. I had to set mine up in my room a certain way. Where did I put those questions? It's already recording, but I'll edit out what we are not doing yet. I thought I had different questions. Okay. But anyway. So we can start whenever you're ready. Ready?
I'm trying to because I wrote like some things down to like remember my answers to the questions. Or just like so I don't forget anything. So I could like glance over it. But I think, yeah, I'm good.
Okay, good. Yeah, I got my list too. Yours is They Live, huh?
What's up?
Yeah. Was yours They Live or?
VHS? Oh, yeah. The Thing.
Oh, The Thing. That's right. Okay.
Which one's well, the Shining, right? I think I see.
Yeah. Because so it goes regular bedding.
Love it.
I guess we'll start out and let you introduce yourself.
Oh man, I hate introductions.
Me too.
I'll do the best I can. Cause I'm like I don't talk myself up like that. So I'm just like, hey, I'm Doug, and that's it.
Yeah, I don't.
World Tag Team Champion. What?
I don't like talking about myself.
Same, but I'm doing it for you.
Well, thank you. I'm sure everyone will be appreciative. Let's see. Okay, so Doug, so what all is going on with you? With your music, with just anything in general that you would like to tell us about?
Oh, anything in general? Well, it's been 8 months since the pandemic hit, so it's been a lot of being home alone with your own thoughts, which I'm sure everyone else is feeling if you're out of work. Pretty much, yeah, just watching a whole bunch of movies, catching up on that, and then making music. Pretty much, that's my entire life when I was working, but now it's just more so watching movies and making music. It's definitely good to catch up when you have so much free time.
Right, that's true.
Yeah, it gets a little like stagnant at times, you know, just like being home for an extended period of time and you're just like, there's so many things to do, but I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it's like you finally have so many options that your brain is on overload. And like you said, it kind of gets mundane at times because it's just all there is to do.
Yeah, it's just the same thing over and over.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Ooh, I'm a klutz. Well, did you want to talk about your music or?
Oh yeah, we could talk about that. I mean, I've been doing music since I was 15 years old. With like, I got into like hip hop and stuff like that. So the early music career was more along the lines of like rap and hip hop and stuff. And I had a group and we played a bunch of shows at like we did a show at like Webster Hall a bunch of times, which is this super dope venue in New York City. Have you ever heard of it?
What's it called again?
Oh, Webster Hall.
I don't think I've heard of it.
It's pretty sick.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah, they have like so local acts played downstairs. It's called like the Basement, I believe. It got like taken over by Live Nation now. So it used to be like three levels of like music venues, and like the upstairs was called something, the middle was called something, downstairs was the Basement, and local acts would play the Basement or like lesser known acts and stuff like that. It was pretty sick. We played a bunch of shows there, and yeah, I just been working on music ever since I was 15, kind of moved away from hip hop because personally, I think it's very limiting. There's only so much you can do with hip hop. So I kind of moved not so much away from it, but just like expanded, like going into more like, I don't know, kind of like hip hop / indie rock / just, I have like, you know, so many influences just like piled into one. So it's not just like one singular sound. I just do it for fun pretty much.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to not get bored with it. Cause if you do only one thing, if you're like me, I have a short attention span and I will zone out real fast.
Yeah, totally. Especially with, when I was doing like hip hop, well, I'm trying to figure out a way to put this, because it was like a different style of hip hop that got like really popular over the last couple of years, like the trap type of hip hop with like those banging like 808s and shit like that. And I just felt like too many people were trying to like go with the trend and just do that. And I tried to do that too with my friend. His rap name is Bearded Legend. He's like one of my best friends. And we both like did it together, but he was like, he's superior to that. And like, I just felt like I couldn't get the hang of it. So I would get like super frustrated. And this isn't going to come off cocky, I hope. Like, I know I'm not terrible, but like, it wasn't pleasing to like my ear. And I just kept trying to like force it, because that was like, you know, me and my friend were trying to do the same thing. We were trying to like, you know, get to the next level. And I was just like, I fucking hate this. Not hate it, but like, I just wanted to do something different.
Right. So that's cool.
Oh, are you on a delay right now?
What was the last thing you said?
Oh shit. Oh man. Gotta love internet.
Am I?
I think so.
I hate it freezing on my face. I'm pretty sure it's always when I'm making a bad one. Well,
like the Joker or something.
Did you want to talk about what got you into horror?
Oh yeah,
get asked that all the time, but that too.
I'm literally anything about horror, I'm down to talk to, down to talk about. So, yeah, how I got into horror. It's always a tough question because it's so long ago. I think I got into horror early. Not like, I know some people got into it when they were like chill, like toddlers. I think I was about like 12 or 13, I saw Killer Clowns from Outer Space on TV, and I was just like fascinated by like how everything looked. Like, it just had like this whole weird, creepy atmosphere, and it was like fun. So I was like completely enamored by that. And then I slept over a friend's house when I was like, I don't know, I had to be like, shit, that might have been earlier than the Killer Clowns one, maybe. I always jumble back and forth because my memory isn't that great going far back. So like, I think the first horror movie I ever saw was I Know What You Did Last Summer, maybe in like 1998 or 9. Mm. And I slept over a friend's house and we watched it, and I was like terrified because I'm like a baby. I get like terrified very easily, or did back then. And I remember watching that and was like, wow, this is pretty, like, I'm afraid of heights, but I like the feeling that it gives you of like going on a roller coaster, like the adrenaline.
Yeah.
You get that by like watching horror movies. So I was like, I like this feeling and I don't have to go anywhere high up. So I'm down with this. And then like, I was always obsessed with the look of like the Universal monsters and stuff like that, like the classic Dracula, Frankenstein, that type of stuff. They're pretty much just, once I got older, kind of researched everything and watched a whole bunch of, many a night spent at Blockbuster getting a whole stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's how you do it. Everyone starts at different times. And so, but, you know, people think that it defines you how early you started, and it really doesn't. I don't know why people have to be silly about it like that, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's not a competition or anything. I feel like if, like, there's always that, like, stigma of, oh, you liked it later than everyone else, you're not good enough. But that, you know, whenever you get into it, like you said, you're still a fan of it. It doesn't matter when you become a fan of it. You still love it. You still enjoy watching it. You get into it. There's plenty of movies that I haven't seen still, and I'm sure there's a bunch of movies that you haven't seen still. But, like,
yeah, there are a lot.
You can't watch everything, like, in one day.
Exactly. And there are just so many out there. It's like, how do you watch every one of them? Like,
exactly. What's one movie you haven't seen that, like, everyone has seen?
When movie? Oh, it's not a horror movie, but, well, hold on. Let me think. Let me look.
Oh, it's different. Are you looking at the movies that you have?
Yeah, that I haven't watched yet. Let's see. I still haven't seen Bubba Hotep, which I don't know if that's defined as horror. Or Alligator 2. I was going to watch it, got distracted. I've got quite a few. I don't know if everybody's seen those, though.
Bubba Hotep's B-movie. C-movie.
Yeah. I still haven't watched 976 Evil. I feel like a lot of people have seen that.
I haven't seen that either.
Have you seen that one?
I haven't.
Really?
It's on my list. I know Wes Craven directed it, and it's been on my list. But for some, it's never, like, I can't find it anywhere. Like, I would watch it, but it's just not, I can't find it anywhere. I just have to go on eBay and get, and just buy it.
Yeah, I can't remember if I got mine off of eBay. I kind of want to say I got it from Video Consumption on Instagram.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Sure I did. Yeah, I've gotten quite a few from him, and then I'm blanking out right now on who the other person was. I feel bad. Oh, VHS Interceptor, I believe.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. So what's one movie that people haven't seen that you want to see that is, I guess, like at the top of your list?
One movie that I haven't seen that people haven't seen? Oh. That people have seen?
Sorry, or they don't have to see it either.
Oh, I'm trying to think. I really should write like a list down. That's what the whole reason, like, you know that website Letterboxd? Really need to use that more so you can like keep track of movies that you haven't watched. I just keep like forgetting to add shit. I mean, we could go with 976 Evil because I haven't seen that. I can't think of any other ones.
That's fine. If I wouldn't have turned around, I wouldn't have thought of anything.
Yeah, it has to be, like, in front of you to see it. There's just so many.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, Dog Soldiers I haven't seen. I heard it was really good.
Well, I know you're... Which one?
Oh, Dog Soldiers. Sorry, I think the
Which internet one did you say?
Is a little, like, fucked up. So I can't, probably. Like...
I was... Sorry. No, I haven't seen that one either. I know you're a big John Carpenter fan, so do you have like a top 3, 5, whatever?
My definite number one is In the Mouth of Madness, which I think is his most, like, I mean, I think he's a genius no matter what he does, but I feel like that's his most like bold movie, and it doesn't get talked about enough because it's so like the way it we like the twist is amazing, and the whole like it's not like really like a social commentary type of movie, but it sort of is in a way because it speaks on like John Trent is like in like this I can't fucking think right now for a second. I have like 10 million thoughts going on in my head. It's just a brilliant movie, the way everything like weaves in and out together.
Right. I still haven't seen that one.
You haven't? Oh, it's so good.
So,
I think it's his best written movie.
Yeah, I need to. What, do you have any other top ones by him that you want to talk about, or do you want to move on to another question, or?
I mean, The Fog is easily one of my favorites. I mean, I'm trying to not say Halloween, but because we all know it's like the holy grail of, you know, franchises, and it's a great, the first one is a classic Inside and Out.
Yeah.
So that goes without saying, obviously, but The Fog, I feel like The Fog is the closest he got to like recreating the same atmosphere in Halloween, like that very like creepy, unsettling atmosphere. And he does it with like pirate ghosts. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Other aspect that he was dealing with.
And that's Jamie Lee Curtis and Tom Atkins in it, right?
Yeah.
Am I properly? Okay.
No, you're
yeah.
right. Yeah.
I love it.
And Adrian.
I love it. And who?
Adrian Barbeau.
I didn't even realize that. I didn't rewatch it. I really liked Captain Blake. He was like, they did a really good job on him.
Yeah, he was killer. He was great. And I didn't realize, I don't know if you, do you watch Sons of Anarchy at all?
I have. I haven't seen all the seasons. I've seen like 5 of them. And then of course I had to watch the finale because
You have to invest in the thing. But he's only in a couple scenes throughout the series, but the old man who plays Gemma's dad, he was the priest in The Fog. And when I watched The Fog, I was like, oh shit. Oh my God, what happened? I think
somebody might be trying to call me. I don't know. My phone beeped. Oh. I have it on Do Not Disturb. Who played Gemma's dad again?
Oh, the priest from The Fog. And I watched it and I was like, oh shit, he's like 50 years younger. But still has like the same face.
I'm
just like amazed.
I'll have to watch that again and look for him specifically.
It's always a great movie to watch to get you in the spooky mood.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you can't go wrong with Sons of Anarchy. It's
no way.
Got so much action. He's got a lot of action.
Oh yeah, a whole lot of action. There's a whole lot of biker ass for people who want to see that. Jared Sutter is a brilliant. I think he's a great storyteller. The way, like the Shakespearean way, he like tells the story. It's very dramatic, but like it's badass.
Right. What an ending, though. And I hated. I know I won't say anything because I don't want to give it away, but. Opie's storyline made me so sad because I really liked him, and then it was just tragedy after tragedy with him. And then I just like when he died.
And you said it was spoilers. You're breaking your own rules on your own show.
I'm ridiculous. So but
it happened in 2013, so I think you know people could catch up. It's cool.
I hope so. I've been berated for posting stuff before, so I try to watch it, but I can't help it. But I can't remember if I did cry or if I almost cried, but I'm pretty sure I cried.
There were definitely waterworks. There was plenty of waterworks. I remember when, spoilers. I'm just gonna say spoilers first. When Tara got, you know, that scene. I'd like drove with me and my friend used to watch it like every Tuesday night or whatever. I drove home from my friend's house like crying. I was like, why did they do this? It was so, but it's such a great, powerful scene. And just like the whole, first of all, Gemma is the worst possible human being on the planet. She's so overbearing and overprotective, doesn't trust anyone else and thinks she knows what's good for everyone. Obviously I have a lot of feelings about Gemma, but like if she just paid attention and listened to other people, then that wouldn't have happened. But she's such a bitch anyway. Great, like I love Kate Sagal though. She's amazing.
I do too. But she just made like one bad decision after the next. And even when she was trying to make the right decision, it was wrong. But there were so many times she knew that what she was doing was gonna hurt people, you know, Tara. And she just didn't give a fuck.
She's all about that self-preservation. Didn't really care how it affected anyone else. She just set a fire behind her and just turned the other way and didn't care.
Yeah, that is so true. That's crazy. Let's see. So do you want to talk about cosplay, VHS, or... your favorite thing about the horror community, anything like that?
Yeah, we could talk about all that stuff. Where do you want to start?
We'll start with cosplay since you're pretty damn creative with that. I feel like people should know about that.
Thank you, I appreciate that, but it's mostly due to extreme boredom because, like I said,
yeah.
Being home for 8 months, you have to occupy your time. And the people who like really go insane with their looks and their and cosplaying and stuff like that, I was always fascinated by like, you know, people who go to Comic-Con just completely like transformed as the character. I'm like, wow, that's fucking insane. And there's this convention that I go to. Did you ever hear of Monster Mania?
Yes.
It's amazing. Oh, yeah,
definitely.
No good. Except the only bad thing about it is what?
I said I wish I could go.
Oh, well, no one can go.
It's too far away.
Yeah. Well, no, you're not.
Yeah, true.
It's like take a plane there, like a 45-minute plane ride.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too bad.
It's worth it. It's really fun.
So, you said you like to go to Monster Mania whenever it's open.
Oh, I've been going there for like 8 years. It's like a whole weekend ordeal with like guests and vendors but people cosplaying and stuff like that. And every Saturday they have a costume contest and it's like most creative, most sexy costume. And then they do like a kids, like best kids costume or whatever. But like the people put in some serious work. I'm literally just putting a mask over my head and taking a picture. So it's not that serious. I mean, I like the pictures that I take and stuff like that because I think it's fun. But like some people go like insanely hard with it. And that's like amazing. I think a lot of these people are amazing.
Yeah, they probably spend like 6 months to a year preparing their stuff. That's major commitment. I wish I had... Like, I like doing cosplay, but, I mean, I really just half-ass everything, so.
But no, that's the great thing about it, is if, you know, if you get the look down that you want, it's all about being, like you said, it's all about being creative, and you can get creative with the most minimal amount of things you have, and I think that's what's cool about it, that you don't have to go full 100% into it. You could just pick up things around the house and be like, I have a butcher's knife, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's for everyone.
Yeah, I love it. So what about your love for VHS?
Oh.
No, you're.
Yes. I love, oh man. Yeah, I've only been collecting for about, I mean, I had VHS tapes like back in the day, but wasn't like an avid collector or anything. I was more, during like teenage years, I bought like, I went to Best Buy like every time I got paid and got like DVDs or shit like that. But that was just to like watch movies and stuff like that. Like the reason why I got into like VHS collecting, other than like, you know, the nostalgia factor of it and that it's like a movie I can watch, like a physical copy, which I always like the cover art on like VHS tapes are just so like beautiful and like retro looking and like actual artwork. Like if you look at like movie posters put out today, it's literally just like two Photoshop faces peeking out of the sky and like that's it. It's not like no work really goes into it. Like the tapes that like, you know, people like put effort into it back in the day and it looked like a whole like art piece. So I like that aspect of it too. And then I got into it and just bought like, it's also another thing I did during quarantine, buy way too much shit.
Relatable.
That government money, that extra $600 really helped.
Hey, whatever supports your habit, it's not a bad habit to have.
Exactly. Totally agree.
They're far worse things. But yeah, the VHS covers, that's like my favorite part too. Like they just don't make them like they used to.
No, and everything is just very, I don't know, everything has that like digital feel to it. Like no one, like, it's art. Obviously everything's art, but it just, I don't know, it has a different feeling when it just looks more like someone put time and effort into it and really like a lot of thought into it. Like I saw this movie poster yesterday for a new Tom Holland, and I forgot the actress that's in it, but the poster was literally like their faces turned sideways. She was on top and he was on the bottom, like Photoshop together and like something in the middle. And like, that was it. Like, what are those meetings like? Like there's no, what's the creative direction there?
Yeah. I don't get that.
No, it's like,
it's like, were they not allowed to do a real shoot for it because of COVID, or are they just lazy?
Probably just lazy. They probably just told Tom Holland, just lay down and take a picture and send it to us and we'll just crop that shit out. And that was it.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised.
No, how
what about Hollywood?
Oh, they're lazy.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. So, next I was going to ask you about maybe your favorite thing or favorite things about the horror community, your favorite actress or actor, did I already say favorite movie? I don't remember.
Favorite movie of all time? That's what you're talking about?
If you would like. We could do actor, and then like your favorite thing about the horror community.
Oh, okay. Well.
List just one, because I'm indecisive. People ask me to list one, I'm like, okay, here are five.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's so hard. You can't whittle it down to one. But if I'm going off of one, like my all-time favorite movie out of every movie, it's going to be like the most unconventional pick. But Tommy Boy is my favorite movie of all time, with Chris Farley.
That's
and
great. It's just,
I don't know, it just makes me feel good. I watched it when I was like a kid. I can recite that movie front to back, and it's just, oh man, no one can do it like Chris Farley.
Agree. Rest in peace, Chris Farley.
What?
I said rest in peace, Chris Farley.
Oh, yeah, rest in peace. Sorry, I think one, I'm deaf, and two, the internet sucks.
I know, I don't get it on the internet. It's ever since COVID like really started running rampant, it seems like I've had nothing but internet problems and phone connection problems. They wouldn't even let me send the message to send you about when I was getting ready earlier. Like, I'll check back and it had been 10 minutes and it's like sending. And I'm like, what the? Like, come on.
That 5G theory that people were talking about apparently.
Yeah.
Whatever conspiracy theory. I don't even know what that means, but all right.
I don't either. That's why I laughed.
Oh yeah, as long as the internet works, then we're good.
Yeah. So Tommy Boy is your favorite movie. Do you have a favorite actress, actor, or multiple?
Favorite.
Now you're a fan of Florence Pugh.
Oh yeah, Florence Pugh is my wife. She just doesn't know it yet. And even though we're millions of miles away, I already put a ring on it. We're getting married. It's happening. But she's not my favorite. She's not my favorite actress only because, I mean, I love her. She's been in a couple things here and there. And I feel like this is like the era of Florence Pugh. And she has like so much, I mean, she's so young and she's going to do so many more great things, but she hasn't reached that level of like quantity yet. Like she doesn't have enough things. I would have to go with Toni Collette because she's amazing in absolutely everything. She puts 100% in every role she plays. The fact that she didn't get nominated for Hereditary is just beyond comprehension. It's fucking crazy. She's so good.
Did you ever watch her in United States of Terror? Of Tara?
Yes, she's so good.
I mean, like how all those different roles. That is, yeah. And just one show. She's amazing. I agree.
And she's Australian.
I did not know that.
When I first, sometimes you go on rabbit holes, like watching interviews of like actors and stuff like that. Years ago, I watched an interview with her and she was like speaking in Australian and I'm like, what the, like it like blew my mind open. I was like, wow, she doesn't have her natural voice in like any of her movies. I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard her with an Australian accent.
No, not in a movie, unless it's a movie that we haven't seen. But she, I mean, Sixth Sense, Hereditary, United States of Tara, even in the terrible Fright Night remake, she was like a glimmer of hope. She's just so good. Like, even if she's in a bad movie, she's like the beacon of hope that, maybe I won't leave the theater.
She was I think she was the best part of that movie. Everything else to me in the remake, I hope for more, especially, what's his name, Colin Farrell? That's the one you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Like, I just expected more, but she was the best part.
I will tell you a secret. I fucking hate Colin Farrell. I hate him so much. He is my number one, not number one. He's my top five most hated actors. If you want to watch a 2x4 on the screen, watch Colin Farrell in every goddamn movie. Terrible.
Oops, funny.
Hate him.
I haven't really seen him in anything in a while.
Good.
I know he's probably quit. So what are your favorite things about the horror community? You're pretty active in it, and whether you believe it or not, you're well respected and you got a lot of fans. Cause when I was talking to people about doing interviews and how I wanted to include like some of my favorite people, I believe it was Mary, who was like, you gotta get, already asked him.
Oh man.
I'd like literally asked you like maybe an hour before. I was like, so I mean that just shows you there. But yeah, so what are your favorite things?
I mean, I definitely appreciate all those kind things and I love everyone. I have no bad blood with anyone. I know some things about the horror community, for some reason there's like bunch of high school drama, but I don't think people should pay attention to that shit. That happens with like every fandom, so we'll focus on the positives. I mean, everyone is just so like, I feel like everyone is so genuine and supportive. Like anything you do, like whether it be, you know, post picture, body positivity, something. Like, if you say you haven't seen a movie, they're not like, why the fuck didn't you see that movie? They're just like, you know, they talk to you about it and stuff like that. So I would just say everyone's pretty supportive. Everyone's super kind. And I feel like there should be, like, the whole, like, social media thing. It makes us feel like, you know, inferior. For some people, it makes people feel inferior when they don't get enough attention. But I feel like as long as you pay attention to, like, the genuine connections that you make on there, and there's, like, everyone's really fucking cool. Like, you're super awesome. Plenty of other awesome people on there, in there. I feel like that's all you got to focus on.
Yeah. I got caught up in thinking it over too much. And then I was just like, you know what? Like, this is supposed to be fun. And since then, I've done nothing but enjoy it. And, like, I try to tell my friends when they're struggling, like, just have fun with it. And like you said, just remember the people who are supportive to you and just be thankful for them.
Exactly. Like, no, like, you shouldn't give a fuck about follower count and losing followers and gaining followers. Like, that doesn't, it's like, it's social media. It's not that serious. Like, relax. Like you said, we're on there to have fun. We're on there to share our passion and talk about what we love. Who cares if someone with a bigger follower count doesn't follow you? Like, who can't, like, they're not, like, we're not celebrities. Like, I know you said, like, oh, I'm well respected, which I appreciate anyone for saying that, but I'm just a person, you know? I'm not fucking a celebrity or anything. I don't see it that way. I don't think
no.
Do what you do, but I don't see it that way. I love everyone in the horror community, and there's so many awesome people, and I respect everyone, and everyone should be respectful towards other people. This is how I feel.
Agreed.
Like, no one totally should be
agree.
Not fucking but, nice.
Right? I don't see why people are so concerned with losing followers, because, I mean, you're going to lose followers every day regardless. Like, you can't sit there and be consumed with it. And hopefully people, I think just because of COVID and everything that's going on right now, this whole year, that people have overthought things that they normally wouldn't care about. But, like, what I try to tell people, I'm like, look, you're going to lose followers. We all do. Like, you might lose 100 followers in a day. Like, but don't pay attention to it, and then you don't realize it. And then, to me, the key is just to be consistent with things. And, you know, if you're trying to grow your following, but worrying about losing the followers, that's just too much. It makes it not fun.
Yeah, exactly. And they always say if you don't have people who dislike you, then you're doing something wrong, because not everyone is going to like you, and that's totally fine. But I just think people, it was totally okay to get concerned, especially if you, like, you know, I don't see the point in unfollowing anyone on social media if I like their stuff, or if they say something that I'm not, you know, that I don't like or whatever, I'm not like, oh, fuck you, you piece of garbage. Like, everyone's entitled to have their own different opinions. It's cool. Unless they say, like, you know, some racist shit or like Trump 2020, then you're getting that swift unfollow, because fuck that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I get people, like, being concerned about that, and, you know, it makes people feel bad, but you just gotta brush that shit off. Not everyone's gonna like you. Totally fine.
I believe in if someone's making you feel bad about yourself, if you're allowing someone to get to you, then I believe and I'm following them just because it's good for your mental health. But other than that, like, I don't see the point either.
Totally. And like, some people, like, what was that?
Go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just gonna say we're not all gonna agree on everything. You gotta agree to disagree.
Exactly. And that's the whole fun of it. Having different opinions and debating and talking about it and stuff like that. But the internet is a place where if you don't like something, then you can go fuck yourself. It's such a weird thing that no one wants to have, like, a conversation about anything. It's just like, oh, you don't like Star Wars? Fuck off. It's not like, oh, why don't you like Star Wars? It's not like an open feel like a lot of people need to have like a dialogue about these things, because that's like the whole fun of it. Like going back and right. forth, talking about it, not just like shutting someone down, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes if you go back and watch something a second time that you thought you hated, you might actually like it that time. And then sometimes you watch something you loved and you're like, oh, I don't like this anymore.
Yeah, your mind is allowed to change.
Right. Exactly. Let's see. What is at the top of your bucket list for horror locations or attractions or conventions, stuff like that, when everything's back on grid? If ever.
Hopefully soon. Don't say that, please. I don't know how much longer I can last inside my own house by myself. Man, that's a good question. I want to go to the West Coast for sure, and go to like convention wise like Monsterpalooza and stuff like that, because I never, or like Mad Monster Party. I know there's a bunch on the West Coast in like California, and I know there's some in Texas, bunch in the Midwest. I only been to like, you know, New York Comic Con and like Monster Mania and stuff like that, so I would like to go check out stuff over there. Have you ever been to like conventions near you?
Texas Frightmare, and then I'm gonna go to the Houston Horror Film Fest pop-up market too, and then they're gonna have another event I think in June, and I think also the cult classic convention in Bastrop is gonna be doing one in January, maybe February, that I would like to try and attend. But I'm for sure going to do the Houston ones, because it's a 2-hour drive as opposed to like a 5-hour drive.
Oh, you still, yeah.
Just
still,
depends on timing. Mm-hmm. But I really want to go to that Bastard boy.
What's that?
Do what?
What'd you say?
I said I really want to go to the Bastard boy. I really want to go to the Bastard convention. I just don't know that it's for sure going to happen.
What is that? I never heard of that.
Oh, the cult classic convention. It's, they say, I thought Texas Frightmare Weekend was the biggest convention, but they say cult classic convention is, so it's even bigger. I'm trying to remember what guests they were going to have this past year, but I don't remember. I know that one of their guests is Caroline Williams.
Ooh.
And
I want to meet her so bad.
Yeah, I do too. And that's really all I know right now.
Guest that you want to meet, that like, what's like your white whale, like your holy mecca? Like the most.
I really, really, really wanted to meet Bruce Campbell last year. Like I brought my Make Love the Bruce Campbell Way book so he could sign it. And the first 2 days I was there, I did not realize you had to stand in line to buy a ticket to get the autograph. So the last day we were there, I stood in line. They sold out like 10 to 12 people in front of me. And I was just like, dang it. So I'd like to meet him. Of course, don't hate anybody, but I would love to meet Sherry Moon Zombie. I know that's a sensitive spot with people, but I do really like her.
Still a legend in the horror genre. I mean, she played Davy. Obviously, you got to meet her. I feel like, I always have this discussion with people, and like me and my best friend, we always have this discussion. I think she has a lot of potential to do. I want to see her do other things that's not written by Rob Zombie. Because she pretty much plays the same character in every movie. Not saying it's not good, but she plays the same character in every movie, just different. In 31, she played Baby, but like a hero version of her. But I want to see what you can do with someone else's writing and direction and stuff like that.
You want to see what her range is. She was in the remake of The Tool, but it was like so fast that I don't really know. She did the remake of The Toolbox Murders, but it was a really fast role, like not long at all. Most people probably that. What'd you say?
Oh, I did not see the remake.
Yeah. I liked both of them. I don't know which one I like more. Probably the original.
I feel like that's normal to say.
I know. Every now and then I like a remake better, or I'll like it as much if I set it apart from the original. But if you're like comparing them, it's hard because you grew up with one thing and then you're seeing someone's modern take on it. And either they hit it out of the park or you leave disappointed. But I mean, that's how anything goes. But still, like, I commend anyone for putting themselves out there and trying anything like that. You know, it takes a lot of hard work and commitment and a lot of time.
Yeah, you said all the right words that people should embody when remaking someone else's film, because there's a reason why the classics are classics. The way it's directed, the way it makes you feel, and just the originality of it. You were way nicer than what I was going to say. I just think it's weird. It just seems like a lot of these remakes are all like cash grabs, and they're just using the names to market their product, and they're not really, they're giving us like a half-baked product. Not the movie half-baked, but something that's like undercooked and like really no thought put into it. Like, why remake Black Christmas 10 times?
I didn't even watch the latest. I thought Black Xmas was okay, but Billy like ruined it for me. And there were a few plot holes in that one, but yeah, like alarm. But I do see what you're saying, like, be original, like, come up with something new, because it is tiring seeing the same thing over and over. I just think it's brave to try anything at all.
I mean, if you have the power to, and you think you have, like, a vision for something that's already been done, then yeah, go for it. But I don't know, it's only worked out so many times. Like, the Evil Dead remake was really great. And the Hills Have Eyes remake was really great, and they like paid homage to the original and stuck to the story, but still did things a little differently where it was like something new. Like when they went into that old house with like that mutated melting person sitting on the chair, like that's fucking cool. And just like just recently, like the remake of The Craft and stuff like that. Like if you feel like you have something new you want to add to the story, great. But some movies just don't work in like the modern world. Like some movies you just can't modernize like in that time.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my thoughts on it.
No, I agree. Like I just don't see how they're going to make The Craft better, you know, but whatever,
like a sequel. I don't know, I didn't see it, so I can't talk on it, but it looked like a soapy Lifetime movie from the trailer. I don't know if it's that. I've definitely heard not great things about it. I don't know about you.
I haven't watched it yet. I probably wasn't going to, but
I'm not spending 20
my bracelet got stuck.
Oh no.
Oh hell no. Okay, anyway.
All right, you're good. Are you chained?
It's still stuck. I took it off my arm, but it's chained to my hose. So I did want to ask you if you could do any movie, like if you were to do a movie yourself, what genre would you choose, or what subgenre? Would you want to be director, producer, screenplay writer, actor, behind the scenes? Like, what would you go for?
I mean, we all want to act in like a badass movie, right? Even though we're not actors. Oh, yeah. I don't know about you, but I probably can't act that great. I feel like I would want to direct, maybe, because I don't really like being on the screen and like putting myself out there like that, because like the, you know, the kind of like weighs on your shoulders too much. I feel like I would have more of a fine-tuned direction on where like the story can go and like the different types of shots and stuff like that. So I feel, and like giving, I like giving inspiration to other people on what like the vision, on what vision is, or just collaborating with people. So I feel like director would probably be my favorite thing to do if I had to pick anything. And then genre, I mean,
yeah. Or what subgenre?
Some like, I love movies about like cults, like old, like the rituals and stuff. Like Rosemary's Baby is one of my favorites, and Hereditary, obviously one of my favorites. Anything involving cults, I feel like I, cause like, it's just so creepy. There's so many things and different rituals that you could just make up or even research. And because, you know, the real thing is always terrifying. So it'd definitely be something like that. Some like cult horror movie or something like that.
I'd watch, cause I'm a big fan of anything that's cult related or coven related. Like that's right up my alley.
And you now know the difference between cults and covens.
I'm still having a hard time processing that, but I'm be there one day. So Rosemary's Baby, is that cult or coven? Because I thought that was coven too, but I was wrong with Hereditary. So I'm like,
well, that's tricky, because I feel like in that movie it's both. Because she even said, Rosemary even says it in the movie, that they're a coven of witches, but they do rituals and they are a cult. So it's kind of both in that movie, I would say. I mean, they're all worshiping Satan and stuff like that. So it's like the cult of Satan, but there are covens of witches that do witchcraft to, like, you know, put spells on people and stuff like that. So in that movie, it's both.
Yeah. So, well, no, I know. Okay, if you were to travel back, I know you said you'd rather do a director, but say you travel back into time and you were offered the lead or your favorite character of the most fascinating movie to you, which movie would you choose and who would you be? Like, say that person was not an option and they came to you and they're like, Doug, we want you for this.
If I could be the understudy to Kurt Russell in Escape from New York, that's what I'm going with. Because that, like, being on that set would be so awesome. Like, just the apocalyptic New York and just like the weird costumes and shit like that, it would be so awesome. So that would definitely escape Kurt Russell.
That's a good answer.
Snake Plissken. What about you?
It would definitely be some Final Girl kind of situation.
I assume you
probably
don't
want to, let's see. What?
I assume you don't want to die on screen.
No. I mean, if so, it would be a great death. I'd be happy with that. But I like Final Girls. I wouldn't mind doing, like, or even, it didn't have to be a Final Girl, but, like, I wouldn't mind doing Susie in Suspiria or, why can't I think of anyone right now? Maybe Laurie Strode.
Iconic role.
Because she's been, yeah. But I should have thought about that myself. I didn't think about that. So that's all I can tell you right now.
You have plenty of options.
Yeah. I like Sydney too. Because she just like, she's unbeatable. It seems like But that's more modern than...
Still a classic.
Yeah. So, true. If I could go back in time and do it when I was younger, I'd play Heather O'Rourke's role. Isn't that her name? Heather O'Rourke in Poltergeist?
That
like the little right. Blonde-headed girl?
Yeah, who died.
From there, yeah.
Yeah, that would be
yeah. That's
pretty,
yeah,
a incredible role for a young person.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty consuming, but... Like, that was one that I was fascinated with when I was younger. So, maybe one of those.
Poltergeist is I feel like.
Hell yeah. Sorry, that keeps going off. If you were to write a book about yourself, or if somebody else were to, what would the title be?
Oh, fuck.
You can skip it if you don't know.
Oh, I can figure something out. It's just, so, let's go with anxiety, semicolon, a Reese's story.
Reese's is a security ring.
So let's just combine the two.
I like that idea. That's a good one. That's especially the Reese's part seems fitting for you.
$25 every week on Reese's.
Reese's are great. You can't go wrong with them.
Best thing ever, and it's kind of healthy because it's
Let's see.
I think.
That's true. Didn't think of it like that. Would you like to answer if you could have dinner with any three people, dead or alive, who would you choose and why, or is that overdone?
Something is, I will answer any question you ask me. So we're going to go with Florence Pugh, Florence Pugh, and Florence Pugh.
I can't believe you didn't say Penelope, but.
That's your favorite. I mean, she's a gorgeous human being, but that's all you. You can have her if you want. I'm totally
she's beautiful fine. I normally choose men, or I always choose men, but she is drop dead gorgeous. She always has been, and her accent is just so pretty, but I love Florence Pugh too, so that's definitely a great three choices. And then you wouldn't have to worry about anyone interfering in y'all's conversation. You wouldn't have to tell anyone to shut up.
Exactly.
What would you choose for a last meal?
My favorite meal is linguine and clam sauce, so going with that. Give me. Oh, it has to be a pasta meal.
All right.
Steaming hot. I want Parmesan cheese shaved all over that bad boy. I want to guzzle all the olive oil into my gullet. Going with that.
And Reese's for dessert?
Obviously. Or even just shaved Reese's. Shaved Reese's and sprinkle it on the pasta. Probably vomit inducing, but it might taste good.
Hey, you never know. It might be really, really good.
It could be. I'm not going to try it. You let me know when you try that out.
You may try it before I do. So how do you hope to impact your audience, you know, through Instagram? If you have like any special message that you're trying to give or anything like that. And what's the biggest happy surprise of 2020? Because I know a lot of people have had a lot of harsh moments and trying times, but you know, trying to stick with the positive.
Well, it wasn't a surprise, but earlier this year, before the world completely ate itself, I did meet Kevin Smith at my job, and I almost cried into his armpit. because he's my hero and I love him so much. So that was, yeah, that probably my favorite thing of 2020. And that was in February, February 16th. So nothing great has happened since then.
Oh, I'm darn. Well, yeah. You know, we still have a little bit of time, so maybe something else will great. Maybe something else great will happen, but that had to have been amazing.
The world can get back to normal.
I know. Maybe Kevin Smith can fix it and save us all.
I feel like Kevin Smith has the brain power to do it.
Right. he'll just have us stare into a 3D poster.
Give us the Snoochie Gucci vaccine.
Until we, how do you want to impact your audience? You can answer that, or your three influential people to you, favorite curse word.
I like these questions. I mean, I can answer all of them if you want. I mean, do I have
just tell me do what? Do you have a time limit?
Me? No, we could do this for 10 hours if you want.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, go ahead.
All right. The first thing you said was what was the Instagram question again? The audience thing, which I mean, I don't feel like I have.
Like, if you were trying to get a message across, and like, what would you want to say? Like, I know you're good at keeping positive and being supportive of everyone, so.
I try my best at that. I would say, don't give a fuck about what anyone else thinks. Do whatever makes you happy. I feel like that's the best. That's what I try to live by. So I feel like others need to just be more grounded and understanding of other people.
True.
Just be kind, you know? Don't be a dick.
Definitely. Right. Just be nice.
Yeah. Pretty easy thing to do.
It really is. Some people make it seem like it's hard, but usually they're struggling. So gotta try and remember that maybe they're going through a hard time and just back away for a bit. Do what?
No, we'll go with what you said.
Three influential people in your life. It doesn't matter if they're family members, friends, a wonderful politician. That's a joke.
Yeah, definitely not.
Or an actor.
Oh, man. I would definitely say my dad, one of the most influential people in my life, super hard worker. He always just wants to have a good time. Like, he doesn't want any problems or issues. So I try to like live with that, like the be kind thing. And my mom too, always instilled that in me and my sister and stuff like that. Like, just be kind, be a good person. So definitely them. My best friend, who's also my boss, love her to death, Nicole. We both work together at a music venue over here. I like look up to her, even though she's younger than me, but I look up to her because she's just like the best person. What?
So that's sweet. I mean, all three of the answers. But it's good that you can still look up to someone who's younger to you, because a lot of people would be like, what can I learn from someone younger than me? They're inexperienced. And I think it's silly to be like that.
Not always. I mean, you just can't be ignorant to the fact that people might learn quicker than you do, or they have a different perspective or a different attitude that you can like pick up and learn from. You can learn that from anyone. Doesn't matter how old, if they're older than you, younger than you, it doesn't matter. Just always feel like you should always have the outlook where you could learn something from everyone.
I agree. There's some young people with old souls. They're like, there are people with old souls who are just wise beyond their years. And I hate whenever those kind of people get doubted or overlooked. I feel like everyone deserves a chance.
I totally agree.
See. So what are your, you can answer either or, turn-ons or turn-offs. It doesn't have to be about women.
I saw you look.
It can be about women. It can be about just even like in friendship or just how people do. It doesn't have to be specifically a female thing, you know? Like, I'm about to kill my phone.
No, plug it in.
And we can.
I mean, we could. I'm down to answer whatever. Humor is a big thing for me. Definitely, if you could like joke around and be like as brutal as possible, and like just like, you know, you don't get offended by anything, and you're just laughing at, you know, nothing is off limits, and you're like funny. That's a good turn on, I would say. Humor is a good, you know, turn on, I guess.
Yeah. That's right, because I mean, even for friendships, like that's what I look for, someone who's just able to like make the best of things or whatnot. Okay, so turn offs.
Oh, if you got
negativity,
like, this is gonna sound mean, maybe. But you want me to be honest?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If you have like a fucked up grill, like fucked up teeth, get away from me. Go to the dentist, get that shit worked on, get your molars extracted, push that snaggle tooth up. Oral hygiene, like bad oral hygiene, fucks me up. You got like fucked up mouth?
Yeah.
Go. I know that's probably probably shallow to say, but like, you know, you go to the dentist and then come talk to me.
Well, I mean, to be honest, we all have our shallow things that would just completely gross us out about someone. So,
right, like we
all. I mean, everyone's human.
Exactly. And like we were talking about, you don't have like. Listen, we're just being honest. If you're saying that you don't have any of those, you know, like idiosyncrasies or whatever, or you don't have like those little flaws, literally everyone has something they're not into. So they're lying if they say they don't.
Definitely.
What's yours?
I appreciate your turn on sense of humor. Probably sense of humor and just being loyal and supportive. It's hard to find people who, it's hard for me to trust people, anyone, friend, like I just have a hard time trusting people. So sense of humor is my favorite thing. Like if you can make me laugh, we're golden. And then just being able to trust someone and feel like they're loyal and that they'll have my back as much as I have theirs. Those are the big things for me. And turnoffs, bad breath.
Get to the thumbs up.
And I do like confidence, but I don't like supreme cockiness. Or someone who's like a misogynist. Like or even women, you know, women can be male haters. Like, I just think, like, I don't want to be with women who are male haters because then people are gonna, I don't want anyone to think that I'm like that way because, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that. But bad breath, dishonesty. Do I?
No, I was saying that makes sense.
And then, like you have to have integrity. Like if you don't have integrity to me, it's just Like, I would rather you hurt my feelings and tell me the truth so that I can deal with it. And, like, I'm not going to be mad. I want to know what, you know, how to improve things. But people aren't always honest. And I just wish people were more honest. So dishonesty is a turnoff.
Totally. Yeah. Leaving someone in the dark like that is a lot worse than, like, telling someone the truth of just how you feel, you know?
Yeah. It sucks. I guess, is there anything else that you would like to talk about before I ask my final question? Because I'm out of questions. Well, I have the one last closing.
All right. Well, I just want to say that you're awesome for even talking to me and having me on your show, and congratulations on having one of your own and doing it by yourself and getting across the vision that you want.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I really appreciate you coming on. I was really scared to ask anyone because, you know, like, I got a fear of rejection. Like, I don't like putting myself out there. I feel like everyone's going to say no. And then, but, you know, if you don't try, you never know. So thank you very, very much.
I appreciate it.
I'm really.
So anytime you want me on, thank I will you. Be on, and there's probably plenty of people that want to talk to you. So
we'll just see. Yeah. But yeah, anytime you want to come back on, if there's something you want to talk about, let me know. If there's a, I mean, anything, it doesn't matter. I did want to ask, where did it go? Oh, where can the listeners who are listening connect with you online? Like, where can they find you? Where would you want them to find you? If you don't want them to find you on something, don't tell them, because they will look.
Oh, I will they? I don't know. You could just type in, I'm like, oh man, I've been on the internet for so long with my music and stuff like that. All you got to do is type in my fucking name. You can find me on like purevolume.com. That, like, you remember that? Do you remember that website, Pure Volume?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that old, like, you know, emo bands put their music on there and stuff like that. And my old, I had a rap group in eighth grade, well, started in eighth grade, called Horror Show. And it was like hardcore rap. Me and my friend Joe, we were like 13 at the time. It's really bad. Like, really awful. Like, sometimes I post videos on Instagram or whatever and like video myself reacting to like my old songs, and it makes me want to just like just die. But we uploaded our music to like everything, like MySpace, Pure Volume, SoundClick, all the old websites. So I'm sure if you type in my name, you can find me all over. But Instagram is where I'm most active on. Dougs.supernatural, I believe, is my username, correct? That's right. Yeah, you can find me on there.
I think that's it.
Yeah. That sounds about right. I haven't looked at it in a hot minute. I believe that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I post dumb.
Well, thank you for coming on. But hey, nothing's dumb. It's all fun and games. Like, you gotta. And if all doing the same thing, like, how do you set yourself apart from the rest? And there's no authenticity in it if you're trying to all do the same thing anyway. So,
totally,
it's
agree
good to be unique.
Just be you, and that's all I meant.
Sorry.
Oh no.
Yeah,
no.
I agree. My alarm keeps going off.
Time to go back.
But do I? Time to go back to bed. I wish.
Yeah.
But thank you very much. I would be happy to work with you in the future anytime. And I love seeing your content. I know everybody else does, even though you don't. You might not think so, but you do. They do. And
well, you and everyone.
I really appreciate you making.
Oh, I appreciate you so much. Honestly, but, you're super awesome.
Thank you for making the time for me today. I appreciate it.
Of course. All we got is time.
Is there anything that you'd like to... Oh, that's why. Is there anything that you'd like to close with, or...
Just be kind. The world's a crazy place. Don't be a dick.
I think that's a great way to close. great closing. Definitely. Well, thank you so much, Doug. Y'all go follow him on Instagram. Doug, is it Doug.supernatural, you said? Or Doug's.supernatural?
That's the one. It's like Doug okay. is Doug's supernatural. Doug's.supernatural.
Gotcha. I always forget.
It kind of.
So y'all give him a follow and check him out on Google. You can find it on his Instagram, probably how to spell his last name.
But on MySpace, Exanga, all the good stuff.
Heck yeah. All right, well, thank you. I appreciate it, and I hope you have a great rest of the day.
Oh, thank you. You too. You're super awesome.
All right, as are you. I appreciate it.
Oh, appreciate you.
All right, thank you. Talk to you later.
All
right, bye, Doug.
See you later, or talk to you later, or both.
See you later.